You're listening to The Local Maximum, episode 89.
Time to expand your perspective. Welcome to The Local Maximum. Now, here's your host, Max Sklar.
Well, you have reached another Local Maximum. I'm Max Sklar. I know I've been teasing today's episode for a really long time. I've always been fascinated by the idea of forming new nations and all these issues that go along with it, sovereignty, recognition, constitutions. Turns out it's not so easy to start a new republic, but that's exactly what today's guest has done and continues to work on. The nation in question is called Liberland, and as we shall see, it was created on unclaimed territory, a no man's land, created almost accidentally because of a border dispute between Serbia and Croatia. It was founded as a free republic with the goal of building new institutions to safeguard personal and economic freedom in a way that just isn't being done in any countries today, including the Western democracies. Now, it's too small to be noticed, I guess, on a globe, on a world map, but it's not too small for someone theoretically to live in, to have a community in, or a city even. If you live here in New York, the area of this location is about the size of two Central Parks. It's larger than the Presidio Park in San Francisco. And I've walked through that and, you know, that's it feels like wilderness. It just keeps going and going. And even though no one has moved there yet, there has been a strong interest in this project as evidenced by the hundreds of thousands who have signed up for citizenship and the investments that have been made, in the name of it. So to draw an analogy, obviously this case is going to have some major, major differences here, but the United States went through this process in 1776 with the Declaration of Independence and in 1789 with the Constitution. But what does it mean to go through this process circa 2019 in this small area with potential citizens around the world, with a totally different situation? Well, one difference is all the new technology that is available to ensure fairness in the monetary and governance system, specifically cryptography and cryptocurrency technology. And also, I would say the global and mobile communication networks, i.e. social networks that have been developed over the last decade or so that allows for such a global community of like-minded people to come together so quickly. Also, I'm going to have to include geomapping technology into this mix because I don't think that the type of travel to this location, the type of mass, getting the average person there, the type of mass architectural design competition that they had could really take place without it. And when I say like-minded people, I'm talking, in a sense that all the people involved with this project believe that, believe in the project to try to put together a freer and more prosperous new country that can introduce governance innovations, which existing nations cannot do. And people think that that's a good idea. Other than that, I imagine that the differences among people who support this project must be as vast as can be. People who speak different languages from different cultures and et cetera, et cetera. They probably have very strong disagreements. So my guest today came with his entire delegation. Well, not his entire delegation, but he came with a much larger delegation than I was expecting to Foursquare headquarters, which is my workplace where I sometimes conduct these interviews. And I have to say, I wasn't expecting all these people. And I was like, wow, this is serious. And among the delegation of Liberland was Thomas Walls, who actually kindly set up this interview. And you'll hear from him a little bit on this episode. He is the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Liberland. He is American, but as you'll see, the delegation includes people from several countries. I talk a little bit about being at Foursquare, but I have to add a disclaimer that nothing I say represents the opinion of Foursquare Labs or anyone else at Foursquare Labs. When I say we love micronations, I mean it's a really fun problem for the people in the location intelligence company to think about. Obviously, we talk about these places like Sealand and Liechtenstein and Andorra all the time. So this project brings up many fascinating questions, and I just pulled a few that I personally was interested in. So I hope you enjoy. My main guest today is a liberty activist from the Czech Republic who found the unclaimed territory that is Liberland. He traveled there on April 13th, 2015 with a small group and declared independence. He now serves as Liberland's president, until the Constitution goes into effect. Vit Yedlicka, welcome to the show. Welcome to the Local Maximum.
It's great to be here.
And also joined, now you are president of Liberland, is that how we say it?
Yes, that's correct.
You've taken on the role of president, and you are Thomas Walls?
Thomas Walls, that's correct.
Yes, and your role is what, foreign minister?
Yes, Ministry of Foreign Relations for the Free Republic.
I'm going to have to, I need to find out what that role actually means in a little bit. I'm very excited to talk to you guys today. First of all, I think there are a lot of people out there actually in living rooms and bars and dorm rooms, people who are sitting around saying, hey, we should start our own country. But, you know, 99.99% of the time, they don't act on it. They'll just, you know, wake up the next morning and just, keep doing what they're doing. So was there a point when you started talking about this idea and then you started taking action and realized, whoa, you know, this is it. We're actually doing this. How did you get the motivation to actually kind of follow through?
I think there are two reasons for it. One of them was that people kept telling me that I should start my own country because I was having kind of strong opinions that we should cut down the taxes to half and reduce all the red tape.
Yeah.
And that I realized actually that they might be right.
Yeah.
That, you know, people that were kind of for more taxes and for more, it's difficult to convince them.
Yeah.
And at some point, I also realized that it might be actually easier to start a new country than to fix the existing one. And those two things kind of came together. And a friend of mine that was quite active in getting the whole thing started, Jiří Krejbich, you know, this kind of a pal that you meet for a drink every other week. So we were working it together since 2013 on it, a little bit by bit, and then we had the flag, we had the basics of the ideology together, and then we just launched it.
So you must have been, the first time you were actually there in the piece of land, it must have been like, holy crap, I'm actually here. Tell me about the first time you were there.
It was big time, and it was me, my wife, friend of mine, and also one journalist. I think it was a nice first trip there, and we only took the flag with us, and we just had the journalist with us, and we took a couple pictures. We pronounced the country. We made a couple videos.
Oh, so you weren't just staking it out on the first one. On the first one, you actually declared the country when you were there the first time.
We didn't lose any time.
Okay.
When visiting Liberland for the first time, we stick the flag right away because I understood it was a very special and unique situation in terms of the territory, which doesn't really repeat that often. And plus, I fell in love with the shape of the country and with its position. And then I was correct in the geopolitical situation that is revolving around Liberland.
Okay, we'll talk about that in a minute, but I want to zoom in on something you said, which is that it was easier to start a new country than to fix the existing one. Now, are you talking about your existing country or all existing countries?
I think it applies in general, right? It's quite difficult to change people's ideas about how things should be run. And we always see the people that are pro-bigger government and people that would rather like to reduce it. And this fight is kind of eternal and doesn't really move anywhere. And the reality is that the countries are always getting more in depth. They are getting more taxes installed. There is more regulation. So it's a kind of a one-way road. And the best way how to fight with this kind of degradation of democracy and of basically economical environment is to basically install more competition in the market of states. And that's what we have done.
So, but you're from the Czech Republic, right? And
yes.
Did you try to reform things from the inside?
I tried. We started a libertarian party in Czech Republic that was quite successful. We made it to European Parliament for a term, and we managed to raise a lot of topics, but there is not that much demand for more freedom. People are usually into more subsidies, more free stuff from the state, but not that much demand really for the true freedom in the societies where we are living. Or people just simply don't know what the politics is about, and they're just voting according to the colors on the billboards. And I started to understand it maybe 6 years ago, I was really thinking we have to do it the other way around. We have to start a new country.
So how did you tell me about the physical country, the physical land? why? How did you find it, and why isn't it being claimed by either Serbia or Croatia?
It was a very special situation in which the river changed path during the Yugoslavia when the two countries were together. And then there was a bit of a, let's say, well, let's be open about it, it was a bit of a nasty war between the two places. And they separated Yugoslavia, the whole place basically split into many different countries. So in this region, people actually have experience with creation of new countries, but not really under very nice circumstances. But it didn't matter that the river changed path when the two countries were together, but it started to matter when the two countries separated, because historically there were pieces of Serbia basically on the other side of the river, and there were pieces of Croatia on the other side of the river. So now both countries are claiming different border.
So if I could say it in a sentence, one country wants the border to be where the river is, and yes, the other country wants the border to be where the river used to be.
Exactly.
Okay. And in most cases, those overlap in the wrong way, right? So you have land, I assume along that river, there are certain places where both there's land that both countries claim.
Yes, yes. Okay. They're on the Serbian side.
Okay. But there are, but this section, neither country claims. Are you worried that one day they're going to try to resolve this issue and then like they'll end up changing their opinion on the border and
they're trying to resolve it for more than two decades without any solution. And of course, Liberland, as it is starting to materialize, is the best solution to the whole border dispute. They have created kind of this unique opportunity for creation of a new country, and they are trying to resolve it. But either way, you know, it is probably there is not a bad resolution that would not include Liberland by this time. And the most likely scenario is that Serbia already stated that they don't mind creation of Liberland on this territory, which was very nice. It was only 11 days after the...
Now, when you say Serbia stated, is that like a, is that something that their parliament did or their head of state?
It was the foreign ministry.
The foreign minister said, we don't mind Liberland.
It was the press department of the foreign ministry.
Okay.
11 days after Liberland was set up. So it was very nice. There was this reaction because there was a very heavy coverage of Liberland in the early days in Serbia, and they had to react to it. So that was very nice.
How did they even know about it?
There was a lot of journalists inquiring about the topic, because
it's really
right,
someone went and asked
right
them.
After Liberland started, you can see all the coverage by all the big press agency, AP, AFP, Reuters. I bet like more than half of the world media actually in one way reported about the creation of the country. And that was a snowball of the news, which was a bit unexpected. We were expecting maybe 20,000 citizens to apply for citizenship over the first year, and we got them in first couple of hours. And the next day we got 200,000 people. So by the end of the week, we had like 250,000 people applying for citizenship in the first week alone.
How many people have applied for citizenship now?
I got 600,000 people that are basically registered as our diaspora.
Are they citizens or are they
not citizens
not
yet?
Yeah.
They have to do something for the creation of the country. But we consider these people Liberlanders, basically consider them being our diaspora abroad.
Okay, but so how does one actually get citizenship?
People have to get involved. They have to do something to make the country happen. It doesn't matter if they become actively involved in diplomacy, if they help locally on spot, if they help with technology, if they help with the governance, or if they help financially. And we've got this reward system. It's called merits. And anybody that basically helps to move Liberland forward receives these merits, and they give him the status. So it's kind of a citizenship token.
So, okay, wait, let me see if I understand this. So you don't have some committee deciding, okay, let's review all these citizenship applications and let's see who gets it. It's one citizen can confer citizenship on another through these tokens, or
Pretty much, right? We've got the system of, in 100 countries, around 100 countries, we've got somebody representing us.
Okay.
And these people are also responsible for evaluating the people in their own countries. For example, here in the US, we've got roughly 15 people that are also representatives in different states. here. And they're also responsible in screening these people and making sure that we use the potential. And I'm thinking that right now we are still using the potential of the Liberland as a nation from, let's say, 1 or 2%. It's amazing how much was pledged for the development of Liberland. And it's the biggest challenge. It's not to be the bottleneck, unleash the full potential of Liberlanders as a nation.
Okay. So if I wanted to be a citizen and I wanted you guys have passports?
Yeah, sure.
If I want a passport, what would be my path to citizenship? Not that I'm saying that I'm going to do this. I'm kind of happy where I am, but.
just one of the things that you could easily do would be to basically start your podcast company and start it from Liberland. That would be a lot of fun.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. Start it from Liberland. So what do you mean, like start podcasting
from? Well, you can just declare that this is a Liberland based business, basically.
Oh,
and you can help to promote the idea a little bit from time to time.
I don't have to physically be there.
Of course you don't. And we've got this e-residency program, which is similar to Estonia e-residency program, which basically gives everybody that gets involved a card and we have the people's identity. Right now we are building up the new ecosystem for Liberland companies, so everybody can also get his decentralized autonomous organization once they launch the company in Liberland. And we're building up another, let's say, the whole series of services that these people will be able to use, be it for banking, crypto business, insurance, and all these things that are coming in place.
So let's say I do that. Let's say I declare my podcast to be a Liberland-based podcast, and I talk about it all the time. Like, okay, great. Now I'm ready for citizenship. Now, do I have to, like, convince someone that, like, hey, I actually did all this good stuff, and now maybe you can confer citizenship on me, or how does that work?
Normal way, and people don't really want to get involved in some sort of diplomatic or promotional activities, is that people contribute financially. And that's roughly, right now it's 5,000 merits. That's equal to $5,000. But okay, merits are already traded, so you can actually get them sometimes cheaper, sometimes more expensive on the exchange. It's a floating rate.
So you partially have to buy in and you partially have to do it.
You can do that. Or, of course, if you're full-time and you really support Liberland in some big way that helps to move it forward, the people that are representatives, they evaluate it and they give you the status. So it's there are two ways or a combination of them.
Okay. So it sounds like there's a lot that can be done without physically being there, but I'm really curious about what the actual piece of land is, because I assume that matters a lot. Is it mostly, what's there now? Is it mostly wilderness? Is it riverland? Are there
any? It's wilderness, and we've got a beautiful river and plenty of sandy beaches and one very nice sandy island.
Okay.
Which is called the Liberty Island there.
Are there roads to get there? Are there roads to?
There is one road that is connecting us to Croatia.
Okay.
But right now, because of the security situation with Croatia, which is a bit difficult, we have to build the city on the Danube next to Liberland in order to be physically present there. It solves not just the problem with the security, but it solves also the problem with the flooding, which can come once in a while.
So you can get in by boat
Yes. Okay. The best way to come there is now go to Apatin, take one of the boats, come over. And we are building this boat.
So where do you catch the boat?
It's in Apatin in harbor. There is a boat park there. There are boats for rental. Okay, people can rent houseboat there. They can rent a fishing boat.
No, but I mean, is there like a city in Serbia that you can like catch a boat and then take it down?
That's Apatin. What's that? Called Apatin.
Okay.
A-P-A-T-I-N.
Is that okay? And this is sort of to the north, but in that
south
border.
South?
Okay.
It's 10 kilometers down the river.
Okay. Great. We're going to talk about more geography in a minute because you guys, we are at Foursquare HQ here and we are, a location intelligence company. So here we are gathering intelligence about the newest country. Okay. So we talked about how someone would get there. I see that there's 2.7 square miles of territory or 7 square kilometers.
Exactly.
Okay. I once said on Twitter that I like both systems of units, and all of Western Europe had to come out and tell me how backward I was. But let's not get involved in that. 2.7 square miles, 7 square kilometers. So you claim this land is the sovereign territory of Liberland. Has any of it been claimed as private property by individuals or corporations yet? How do you see that happening?
First of all, it used to have private owners, but everything was bought by Serbian government before they completely renounced the ownership. So that, okay. That's a very interesting element there that, that actually Serbia cared about renouncing it to the degree that they really bought up all the private property.
So they renounced it because that helps them with their border dispute elsewhere.
Yes, that's the thing. Okay. And in Liberland, basically everybody that has got a marriage has an indirect title to the property. And we are very open about the situation, which is right now that it's still... let's say we still have a open issues with Croatia, but I don't want to say we do have a dispute with them because Croatia doesn't claim this territory. You cannot see it on any single map. Their right. territory is always very strictly outside of this place. But the merit system also represents indirectly, basically, the territory itself.
So if I went there and I'm like, you know what, I want a plot of land to build a house. You know, maybe like a quarter acre. I don't know. You probably don't use acres there, but like what? There's a small plot of land. How do you see that being like doled out or sold or claimed, or how do you think that's going to happen?
Every piece of land is basically backed now because we only issue 700 million merits.
Yeah.
Every piece of land is backed by 100 merits.
So someone can buy it though.
Yes, and these merits will be exchangeable for the land inside.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, we have to be again very open. The mission that we are in is not standard one. Nobody has done it in this way. But I want to make this system very transparent. And everybody who pays taxes or contributes to Liberland basically gets these merits. They become the shareholder of the country they are living in, which I think is a very healthy way how to fix the relation between the taxpayers and the decision makers in the country.
Yeah, but so, but I still don't think I have the answer to my question, which is like, if someone wants to own a piece of the land for private purposes, like how would you go about claiming that and get that, you know, recognized by other Liberlanders?
It's this kind of system that we have. Nobody has claimed any a part of the Liberty Island, which was claimed by LSA in the early days,
right.
Liberland Settlement Association. Nobody has like put a flag in any particular place. There is this basically big shareholding entity, which is the state of Liberland, which holds as the whole entity claim to the territory.
Okay. And are you guys planning to sell it out at some point?
Well, this is the idea also that if the private owners will want to buy, the revenue from these sales will go actually to merit holders, so to the shareholders of this superstructure that we are creating.
Cool. Yeah, no, I mean, I remember reading the history in like the town in Connecticut where I was from. You know, how when they started the town, they, you know, went to the shore and then divided up the line into like, you know, some 50 equal parts, and everything goes in little strips, and then people, you know, did a game of chance to figure out which one they got. I don't know. okay. So you guys are kind of, I don't know if this is how you would put it, you're kind of like a provisional government until the constitution goes into effect.
Yes.
Okay. So, when do you see that constitution going into effect? When does the first assembly election happen, and then you guys have like a proper,
I would really like because the testnet of our governance system has been already been placed. It's out there now for 3 months. We have basically utilized the blockchain technology, which was rated as the best technology for governance at the current stage. And we are building now the system of decentralized courts on top of it. So if we have a governance, which is, of course, merit-based, and we have a system of courts, and we have the registries in one single platform, and people basically can vote with their merits for whoever will sit in the Congress, then our plan is to have 20 congressmen. Everybody voted in by merit holders, and these congressmen will basically form a government.
Okay. And when do you see that happening?
I would really like to see that launch before the end of the year. But because IT projects are always taking a little bit longer time than we would like to see. But there is a active discussion now on about exactly all these different elements. There is a new Minister of Justice that is taking care of the integration of our preliminary constitution with the existing blockchain technology.
So that just made me think of something off the cuff. You know, when the United States was founded, George Washington didn't want political parties, but it ended up happening anyway. Do you think you're going to end up having political parties, or do you hope not? Or
well, this is the thing. Like, there will be probably some alliances between the members in the Congress. You cannot avoid it. Somebody will like somebody. Somebody will not like somebody.
Yeah.
So these people will probably get together in some sort of alliances. But I think this kind of new idea that people basically vote with their taxes directly is going to be forming a very much different society or different political system.
Yeah, than explain that. How do people vote with their taxes directly?
So you basically pay your tax or you contribute to Liberal in one way or another. You get these merits that are in the staked form, kind of frozen. We still haven't decided how the unfreezing mechanism will be exactly. That will be probably the decision of the Congress. But with these staked merits or frozen merits, people will be able to vote for different members of Congress. And of course, the first 20 people that get the most support will be part of Congress. And another 20 people that will not make it to Congress will be basically kind of in a opposition to the Congress. But they will also get a little bit of financing through the system. And these people will then be kind of a regular Congress. But again, the decisions who is going to be in place will be done by taxpayers. And they will be making the decision with the amount of taxes they have paid.
Yeah, we've talked about certain things like this on the program. I interviewed my friend Daniel Kronovet at the beginning of this year, and he's working on a project that does, you know, blockchain voting on budgets, which I thought was pretty interesting. So maybe you guys are doing something similar.
Pretty interesting, yeah. Please hook us up.
I'll send that to you. All right. So you have a constitution. I'll admit I didn't read the whole thing, but I read parts of it. So first of all, how did you get that written? It doesn't look like it was written by an amateur. It was written by, a lawyer or someone who's an expert in these things. Is there anything that you or your team decided to include in your constitution that addresses shortcomings that you see in world constitutions today, or for example, the American Constitution or those in Europe?
Yeah, well, the whole Constitution was actually structured in a similar way like US Constitution. It would be quite short, but then it just listed all the failures that have happened in the, let's say, American Constitution over the years. So this is like a positive and negative part.
Yeah.
And then we also learned a lot, I would say, from other things that inspired us. For example, the Swiss direct democracy, which is also included. So the positive decisions are made by government, but the decisions can be basically vetoed by the citizens in a referendum, which I think is a very important control mechanism.
So we hear about California has these referendums to like add stuff. I don't know what they do now, like to ban straws or something. But so you're saying that the referendums in Liberland can only be used to block stuff.
Yes, exactly.
I noticed one interesting line in your constitution. It says that the government cannot take out loans. Am I correct in that?
Yes, exactly.
That's, I think,
a good way how to keep things up.
Yeah, I found that one to be very interesting. I can see why you would put it in there, given the enormous amounts of debt taken on by countries today. But I also can see, you know, municipal governments, like city governments, doing reasonable things with debt. For example, let's say they want to upgrade infrastructure, bring in more businesses, and then that means more revenue, and then ultimately paying off that debt and making more revenue. How would the country of Liberland kind of make those types of investments if you can't take out loans?
If it can be profitable to upgrade the infrastructure and take loan, then it should be taken on by private sector. You know, that's the thing. Like, if there is some project, why should it be taken on by the government if that similar project can be successfully taken on?
I should ask, do you even see like having municipalities or cities in there, or do you just see it being one big kind of like just private property, private infrastructure?
Well, three times bigger than Monaco, right? So it's a reasonably sized country, and I would really like the investors that are ready to develop Liberland. And by the way, there are many. We've got some 20 billionaires that signed up for citizenship, and there is some $30 billion pledged for development of Liberland. So I'm not afraid that there will be not enough money to build roads or something like that. And I think that we also have some of the best world architects with us. For example, Zaha Hadid, CEO Patrick Schumacher, has organized architectural competition for us. So I'm also not worried that there would not be enough interest in making the proper urban planning. But I'm leaving this to other people, the people that actually are experts in this.
Right, because, you know, it would be nice to say, well, okay, the government has nothing to do with urban planning, but someone needs to do it. Someone needs to, you know, lay things out, not just roads, but, you know, there's the electrical grid, there's internet, I don't know.
In our vision, that you know, Patrick Schumacher is a champion in free market urban planning, and the vision is basically have investors and architects sit down together in some sort of, but there should not be like a state committee that says these things. The investors really should have a dialogue so that their designs kind of fit into one another and they collaborate, of course, on networks so they don't have to do two times, I don't know, the sewage system or something like that.
Right.
But the rules should not be inflicted by the municipality or by the state. The state should be just a discussion platform for these players.
So did you get any, what ideas did you get from the architectural competition? When did you hold that, first of all?
It was 2.5 years ago.
Okay.
And we had some 80 entries at the beginning, so it was massive. And I was surprised to find out that we have 1,200 architects that applied for citizenship from all around the world. Out of that, we had 12 finalists. There were studios from China, a famous studio from Dubai, from New York as well. That was actually the winning concept.
Why do you think so many people submitted a proposal? I mean, that's great.
Well, I think we're the fact that there is 1,200 architects that wanted to somehow contribute or become citizens, and that, let's say, one out of 12 actually step out and did something is pretty cool. If we had similar engagement in other areas, for example, lawyers, we would have much easier time building the constitution. But I would say the architects are the most excited group of people that are into development. I think it's quite natural, right? It really inspires people to do whatever they want. And the people just came and they wanted to realize their dreams of their perfect cities. And we had people from Harvard chipping in some ideas. It was really, really cool.
Tell me about the winning entry.
That was algae-powered country, which was built on basically like a multi-layer approach. So there'll be like 2-3 layers of a city on top of another, which I would say was very innovative, very nice approach, very green. And I'm quite happy that, again, that was a New York/Dubai entry by a very famous architect as well. She's now taking care of the Dubai exhibition. And we had a meetup at their office here in New York. The studio is named RAF. It was basically a collaboration between some 8 different architects and even like social specialist and nature specialist. So it was a kind of a conglomerate.
My favorite is Sergio Bianchi, Architecture of Rome, Italy. And we also had a meetup at his architectural studio where he had created a 3D diorama of his plan for Liberland. And this was a very high-tech vision which could house, you know, substantial number of people while preserving the green space around the settlement. So I think he made a great video, which is on YouTube. You can look for that. It's called the Liberland Seed. And that's a great design in my eyes. They're all great, great innovative designs.
RAV, right?
Yeah. So what do you see a future where Liberland is full of like roads and buildings and people? I'm assuming the plan isn't to keep it uninhabited forever.
Yes, that's one of the possibilities. The other is also that it will be a very special, very nature-oriented place. That was one of the proposals, which was very futuristic, with just basically a couple of towers and office centers, and with the rest of the place left alone for the nature, there was a golf course actually originally designed by them. I quite like that design. And the funny part about this is that they had this design kind of settled with these eggs, and these eggs They didn't know, but these eggs actually started to be manufactured 2 years later.
The what?
These eggs. It's like
a modular housing unit.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
They were actually started to be manufactured 2 years later in Slovakia. Another representative of Slovakia became the marketing director for the company. And I was thinking, what a coincidence, like some sort of futuristic design that these guys prescribed for Liberland became reality.
Three,
400 kilometers away. And our representative became the marketing director. So these are kind of completely self-sustainable eggs, where you know it's like a one-family house or smaller units.
Yeah. So I want to talk about Liberland on maps, particularly on online maps. Do you guys hope to have yourself on, Google Maps or Apple Maps? I could talk a little bit about Foursquare because I did look into what we have last night. But what's your status with the big guys?
Well, Google Maps, it was a big editing fight. But I think we won it. There is Liberland actually noted as a place like 5-6 times, and you can find a foreign consulate inside of Liberland as a place. And there is Liberland Airport actually noted there as well.
Wait, you guys have an airport?
Yeah, we've got a small airport only 8 kilometers away from Liberland on the Serbian side of the river.
Okay, but like whose airport is that? That's not your airport, is it?
It's owned by Liberland Group, which is the umbrella company for Liberland businesses. Okay. Google is one, but open source map, they basically have us there as a country, which is nice. Open street maps.
So that is the one that Foursquare uses. I looked at the area on Foursquare. Now, there is a Foursquare venue for Liberland, but just a country venue, Liberland. I think we could do a little better than that. But I looked at your map. There's not like a lot there, but I think that we can add, I saw that you already have a government building. Yeah. Can we add that as a venue? What's it called?
It can be added, but it has been leveled down last year.
Oh,
unfortunately.
Okay. All right. Are there any like landmarks I should like put? You must have something.
We can still put this building there.
Yeah.
It is basically on the Liberty Street. It's number one, this place particular, and I would like to develop it back to its former glory.
I would like to add certain Liberland landmarks to the Foursquare database.
That'd be nice.
So if one of you guys can send me a list of landmarks and where they exist on the map, will be happy to add it.
That would be great.
I looked at our database in terms of like which country gets returned. We have, now I'm going to get into the code because I looked into the code last night and it was like, all the country codes and the time zones is really complicated, and it downloads some file, and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to go any further. But it's interesting. If I had to guess, it might be getting it from an older version of OpenStreetMaps, so maybe that will fix itself, but we'll see. Maybe I'll look into it more and I'll find out.
That's great. Thank you.
Oh, this is a really interesting question I want to ask. You were doing research. It's not like you found this piece of land and then you said, okay, great, this is unclaimed, let's start a country out of it. You first said, let's start a country, and then you said, okay, let's find a piece of land. Yes. So you must have done a lot of research.
We did for more year and a half. We almost end up in this territory between Egypt and Sudan.
Yeah, okay.
So luckily we didn't.
What I wanted to ask is like, so first of all, how did you find, first let's start with like, how did you find the piece of land in Liberland? Like, how did you come across that? And then I want to know, for other people out there who are listening to this program who want to start their own country, where the other possibilities are. But but first, how did you find...
It used to be listed. I'm not sure if it's there anymore under the basically unclaimed territories, like no man's land.
Okay, and these
basically are... Googled for it. And I remember my friend actually just sent me once, you know, look at this one. And I started to look into it. It took me like an hour to read through all the documents and the links that were there. And I thought, this is perfect. This is just the sweet spot that we wanted to find for quite a long time.
There are a few platforms off the coast of the U.S. They're former weather or Coast Guard stations that basically the government was selling them. Hmm. And they're outside the territorial water. So there is a hotel on one of them. I don't know if their legal jurisdiction necessarily falls under U.S. law, but it probably does by default. But there are some opportunities like that. Sealand, if you've heard of that, is a former...
Oh, yeah. We love Sealand here at Foursquare.
Oh, great. Great. We're friends with them. Vit went to the anniversary in London.
50th anniversary, we were invited.
Okay.
It was a big social event. But I never made it to the platform, unfortunately.
Yes, tell me about that. What's the that's not open for, that's not unclaimed, but it is an example of a tiny claimed, right?
Yes, and there was the history is quite rich of Sealand. I would say they were one of the first also entities that supported us in our recognition. They basically wished us good luck a couple days after Liberland was created. It was nice. It was formed on this abandoned
platform,
which was really outside of territorial waters at the time. And I like this story when they actually, the Great Britain said, now it's enlarging its territorial waters, and Sealand directly stated it's also enlarging its territorial waters. So that they don't become part of the UK, and it has been a very interesting story. Nice people around it. I wish they used the potential of that particular platform maybe a little bit more than they did.
Yeah, it's smaller than Liberland, right?
It is okay. The platform is just a couple meters, right? So it's a completely different story.
Oh,
and
wow.
Also, you know, the international law is quite negative about like declaring sovereign territories on man-made platforms. So
right.
It's a different situation.
So tell me about this place between Egypt and Sudan. Is that one still open for business?
I would say it's a very difficult place to do anything at because of its location and of the culture there.
It's a desert.
Yeah, it's a desert. Mm. But it's called Birtavil. It is a Birtavil basically means well. So there must be some water out there if they named it well. And it is, I think, an opportunity for an Arabic world also to make something special. So let's see what is going to happen there.
Did you find any other gaps between countries?
Well, you know, we actually stopped looking when we found Liberland. We had now Joby Weeks 1 month ago in Antarctica claiming the whole... I don't know, 1/8 of Antarctica for Liberland, which was unclaimed.
I don't know if that's going to work.
which was a let's say more of a show.
Yeah.
But then he went to South North Pole as well and stick the flag there. It was very nice. He made it within 1 month to both ends of the planet with Liberland flag. But again, we are not like seeking any more territory. We are looking forward to work with other states on development of Liberland, and we are also very happy to help develop special economic zones or help our diaspora villages to grow, because right now we've got some 15 diaspora villages all around the world where Liberland's got together and developing something great. Places in Belize, places in Panama, places in Philippines.
What are these, like meetups or?
Not meetups, like regular villages or startup cities, basically.
How does that work? Like a bunch of people move to a single area or?
Well, there are 600,000 people around the world. Yeah. So it's not a small nation. We are not a micronation as somebody tries to portray us. We are, let's say, a small nation by now, bigger than Iceland or Malta. And these people are usually very creative. They love to create stuff. They love to start new things. We've got two places now, for example, in Costa Rica. One of them is a nice village now with 130 newly built houses.
So what are the interests of the people who are doing this sort of thing? Like what sort of are they? Just people who are interested in the project and they want to develop their own neighborhoods or. Tell me more about
it. There are Liberlanders living abroad, just like there was diaspora, let's say Jewish diaspora all around the world. Now the Liberlanders are getting together in all these different beautiful places. And of course, Liberland is a beautiful place. It's really worth visiting in summer. But I can tell you the winters can be harsh, and people just might want to travel to our place in Costa Rica or a small village in Ratan, for example.
What unites our global group of supporters is their belief in freedom. And our role as the Liberland team is to establish ourselves as an independent state actor, just like any other state. And we feel that we fulfill the same criteria that other states fulfill. You may have heard of the Montevideo Convention, which was signed back in the 30s.
No, I haven't.
Basically, it lays out the criteria for statehood.
Okay.
You know, you have a territory, you have a people, you have a government, you are capable of engaging in international relations. That's actually what we're doing here in New York this week.
Yeah. Engaging in international relations?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about your role as a foreign minister.
We would like to establish Free Republic of Liberland as an independent, sovereign state actor. And we would like to be recognized in the global community of nations. And we do that by actively reaching out to other nations' delegations. For example, here in New York, we have an ambassador to the UN, and he meets with delegations from countries all over the world. And we've had a number this week, and we've had a few about back in July. We came up here as well as a team, and we have them going forward. We also have the Liberland Aid Foundation, which is a private charity that would replace the notion of foreign aid. Like, you've got foreign aid budgets that, you know, billions upon billions of dollars are spent from forcefully collected taxpayer money, but we voluntarily contribute to projects we think are worthy. So we've just achieved nonprofit status in the United States.
Is it premature to say that I assume you want recognition from the international community as a nation? Is it premature to try to get that? What's your path to getting
it? No, I think we have recognition on certain levels already. We have actually diplomatic relations with a number of countries. We're expanding them, and we're setting up meetings with officials from different foreign ministries. And we've got agreements signed with a couple already.
Why do you think they are doing this with you? Like, what is their interest in you guys?
Well, we also have something to offer. They could offer us the protocol dividend, which is recognition and diplomatic relations, and we can offer new ways of thinking. We can offer aid. We can offer our citizens in their – like in the U.S., we have several thousand applicants.
The strongest diplomatic tool is that we basically become a hub for all these new technologies for governance. And we had a nice meeting now with somebody from Central America, and they were very interested how to improve security. And we've got this app, which is now being launched inside of Liberland, which is called 911. And it is something which we can provide them, and it tremendously improves the way the community can take care of its own security. Basically, it's like an Uber for the police.
So you're providing actual value, like technology or information, to these countries, and so that
Our ambassadors have traveled to several countries advising directly the governments, like of several Caribbean nations.
Okay.
Like our Caribbean rep has been to several Caribbean nations advising on how to use blockchain for e-governance and have citizens' voice have a say in their governance.
And we've got contacts in the companies that are implementing blockchain technology, for example, for the land registry. The governance and the other registries, of course, there is an enormous amount of space to be utilized because the mess that there is with the regular cadastre maps and the uncertainty about ownership of the land is usually one of the biggest problems for the development of the country, right?
So, yeah, sounds like you guys are very busy. You guys have to go into a lot of places. And how many countries do you end up visiting? Like, are you just traveling to country to country?
I stopped counting, but I have to look in the history on Google on Google Maps.
But you must be on the go like all the time.
Name a country and we'll tell you whether we've been there or not.
All right. So as we wrap up, do you have any closing thoughts? And where can people who listen to The Local Maximum go to find out more?
It would be lovely, of course, if people jump to liberland.org and they can get e-residency, or they can also apply for citizenship. And it would be great if maybe you or listeners also considered coming to visit Liberland. And I would say the 5th anniversary on 13th of April is a reasonable date to come. It's going to be a big celebration. And then the 13th of August will be the Liberland Music Festival.
Well, I have to say, most of my friends have not heard of Liberland, but I have been told that I should visit Croatia. So it seems like if I'm going to do that trip, then Liberland has to be a part of it, right?
Awesome.
Right. Definitely. Yeah, it's not far. If you go to Zagreb.
Although
Croatia,
I'm worried about, you said like people get arrested coming out of there.
Tell you what, if you cross the border from Croatia into Serbia to go to where we have our boats, don't tell the border guard you're going to Liberland.
All right.
Don't mention it.
I'll just be like, I'm just going out for a boat ride, just to clueless American, la 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 la.
Just come from Serbia, you know. By the way, we are happy that they are actually protecting the border, right? It's a big favor from their side. It might seem like they're against us, but in a way, they're helping to protect our southern border, and we don't have to pay for it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I see. Okay. Well, fantastic. Any more thoughts before we close out?
Our success is connected with the amount of support we get from people. So come on board, join your country's local liberal land organization, and get involved.
All right. Thomas Veit, Mr. President, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Max.
All right. So that was a lot of fun. They actually gave me a few flags. I have a flag of Liberland right here. Let me wave it in front of the microphone. I have like four of these at home in my office. It's a lot of fun. So like I said, I'm sure you have questions about this that I didn't cover. Fortunately, there are a lot of other episodes out there from other podcasts covering this from different angles. One I'd recommend is You're Welcome with Michael Malice. There's also a whole Liberland podcast dedicated to this project. So I'll link to that on the show notes page at localmaxradio.com/89. I did end up creating some Foursquare venues. I got, let's see what I got here. I got Siga Island, which is, they have a little island that's in the river there. I did put on the government site, and which is sort of the building that's not there now, but maybe can be rebuilt. And there is a country one. I know I still need to add the ones that are their boats, and I feel like they need one for their beaches. There's some for the beaches nearby. I think there's one called Fishing Spot that I believe is a Croatian venue, but I'm not sure. So, okay, it's starting to come together on that front. Next week, also I will post these at localmaxradio.com/89. Next week, I'm struggling because there's a topic I want to take on that touches on some very controversial issues. I want to talk about both the necessity and the pitfalls of narrative building. And it's only interesting if you talk about controversial issues. I think I should just go for it. What do you think? Be careful what you ask for. Maybe Aaron will join me. We'll see. And the week after that, I talk to a journalist who covers internet advertising. You might not know this, but there are whole publications on this topic. And it's not really just about the ads themselves, but the whole web of relationships and scandal that ends up deciding what you see, do, and believe. But let's end on a good note. Have a great week, everyone. That's the show. Remember to check out the website at localmaxradio.com if you want to contact me, the host, or ask a question that I can answer on the show. Send an email to localmaxradio@gmail.com. This show is available on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and more. If you want to keep up, remember to subscribe to The Local Maximum on one of these platforms and to follow my Twitter account at Max Sklar. Have a great week. It'll feel the power.